Thank you for tuning in to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the teaching ministry of Christ Church. You can learn more about Christ Church on our website at ccnh.org.
We're talking about our spiritual lives this fall, desiring to grow in our relationship with Christ, not just knowing about God, but knowing God, as we shared last week. Knowing and understanding Him, very different from knowing facts or information about Him. Last week we talked about the context in which this spiritual life is lived. It's not about you, it's about Jesus Christ. That was the context. It's not about me, it's about Jesus Christ. That's the context in which this life is lived. Today I want us to consider for a few minutes the manner in which this spiritual life is lived. It's not about your wisdom, it's about God's Word. It's not about my wisdom, it's about God's Word. The manner in which this spiritual life is lived. And the beauty of this and these considerations this fall is that no matter where I am, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, we all can grow. New believer in Christ, room to grow. Long-time believer in Christ, room to grow. And so what we want to do is consider this context in which we live, the manner in which we live this spiritual life, to kind of take a pulse, to take a look at ourselves, and to perhaps address these things in a way that will grow us further in our knowledge and understanding of our God. I shared with you several months ago some statistics from studies that were recently done. I want to remind you of those statistics where God's Word is concerned. 92% of homes in America, you will find a Bible. 92% of American homes, you'll find a Bible. In fact, in most of those homes, you'll find multiple copies of the Bible. The Bible is that runaway best-selling book of all times. They've actually quit adding the numbers. They can't figure out how many have been published and distributed anymore. The number is so high. But studies also say that the Bible is among the least read of books in those 92% of American homes. And so let's start with a little bit of a survey of our own. If you are presently happy with your own Bible reading regimen, if you feel as though you're getting enough out of the reading and the study you're doing in your home of the Word of God, right now, raise your hand for me. Well now, I was hoping somebody would and we could all go to your house later. I could just say amen. But if you stop and think about it, there is a want on all of our hearts for this knowing and understanding God more deeply, and even specifically where His Word is concerned. And I have to tell you, 19 years of pastoral ministry, I've had conversations with many of you and with many people about how we approach the Bible, and I hear things like this. You know, I picked it up and I started reading, and I didn't quite understand where I was, and I just kind of quit. Or, I read this passage, and I read this other passage, and I couldn't figure out how they related with each other, and I got confused, and I kind of quit. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had in January, you know, those New Year's resolutions, that by February they're dead, they're gone. And I've heard things like, you know, I've read this, and I didn't understand, I didn't know how it fit in the bigger context. What's your story? What is that lingering dissatisfaction that you have with your time in the Word, and what's its cause? What would you say is the reason? If you have your copy of the Scriptures, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. I'm just going to read a few verses. Isaiah chapter 55. Start with verses 8 and 9. God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, the picture that's given here, first of all, should be encouraging to us. Because God is speaking about the fact that we think as He thinks. And that's something that differentiates us from the rest of the animal kingdom. Many of you have walked a dog before. How much does your dog think as it walks? Your dog thinks about stink. That's what your dog thinks about. Your dog wants to go to every spot that every other dog has marked. And it's thrilled to move through life stink to stink. Your dog never stops and wants to know, what would God have me do on this walk? Your dog never wants to align its thoughts with God's thoughts. It never occurs. Some of you have been with me to Namibia, and we've gone to see lions. Lions are magnificent creatures, king of the jungle. But they never think. They do two things. They eat and they sleep. They never think, gee, I wonder what God would have me do today. They never ask God, where are the fat gazelles? We think. But we need to be aware that our thoughts are not like His thoughts. His thoughts are so far beyond our thoughts. I tried to think science this week and my head hurt. I tried to think about the fact that there are stars that are so far away, stars that God placed so far away from me, that it takes thousands of years for the light from those stars to reach the earth. Now that's far out. His thoughts so far beyond mine. And then even the thoughts that He's revealed to us, those things that we can observe, those things that we can, with our senses, get a hold of, we tend to forget about them. When life becomes overwhelming, those things that we've even apprehended start to slip away. I was at a baseball game last week with my friend Jason. We're sitting in the stands looking at the baseball diamond, and the pitcher runs to first base to cover first, to tag out a player who's trying to get to first base. And I'm wondering, how is it that the pitcher can get from the pitcher's mound to first base faster than the batter can get from the home plate to first base? So I start to think, all right, math. I learned this once. 90 feet from home plate to first, 90 feet from first to second, 90 feet from second to third, 90 feet from third to home, that makes a square. All right. Pitcher's mound's right in the middle there. How far is it? The equation. Something about something squared. I'm feeling pretty square. Jason's a teacher. Jason, solve this one for me. Go ahead. The pitcher's just faster. I don't know. I call my wife. She homeschooled my daughters in math. Scary thought. Honey, how far is the pitcher's mound from first base? What do you want me to do? I'm eating dinner. She called me back 15 minutes later, and I know she used a calculator to figure it out. Things that we've seen, things that we've been taught, things that we've apprehended, they start to slip from us because His thoughts are so far beyond our thoughts and even our ability to think is finite compared to His infinite thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways, than your ways. So many things that happen that you and I can't explain. So many things that we have to rely on faith to deal with because we've got nothing else. Things like the aftermath of a tragedy like 9/11. Have any of you found the answer to explain that and make that reasonable and rational and understanding? So many times we have to run to this place of a faith muscle and stand on that. His thoughts, His ways, so much further beyond ours. And then this thought crosses my mind. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, the prophet asked, how can two walk together unless they agree? How can two walk together unless they agree? How can we really be walking with God unless our thoughts are more aligned with His? This seems to me to be a real key, this manner of living, that we would be striving for our thoughts to align with His. Pick it up in verse 10, Isaiah 55, verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. In follow-up to the point that our thinking are not like God's thinking, our ways are not like His ways, a metaphor is given for us to picture the manner in which this can grow, this can change. The metaphor is that of rain. And dare I say, we've had our share of it the last few weeks. The metaphor should be taken just as it's given, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven. Do you remember the place in Job where God is finally speaking back to Job in answer to all of his petty longings? And he says, have you ever been to the warehouse where I keep the snow? Do you know how it is that the snow and the rain are released? Can you make that happen? And indeed, in life, we recognize that this is something we have no control over. You can make it rain. You can make it snow. These things come down. You know, this word of God, this thought of God, this way of God, something that needs to be revealed, not something we can conjure up on our own. Not something we can create and bring into effect. But it has to be revealed to us. And you see that the rain and the snow, and you know that the rain and the snow come down and accomplish something on the earth. Now, I've been thinking about rain a lot. As rain and snow come down, we don't see immediately the greatest effect that they have. In fact, I've lived most of my life in Florida, where it can rain like crazy, puddles on the ground, and an hour later, it's dry and dusty. And we've even seen some of that here in New Hampshire. Our experience of Hurricane Irene last week, 24 hours, the flood waters had receded. The puddles were gone. Certainly quantity has something to do with it. Our friends in Vermont, just a couple hours away, are still up to their ankles and knees in water. And snow. We've seen it snow, blanket the ground, and then the sun comes up and it's gone. Or we've seen it snow, and snow, and snow some more. But we still don't see the biggest effect that that has. Because what it's doing isn't revealed until later, perhaps even in the next season. When that moisture has had its work, has done its task, and brings forth the fruit, the harvest, rejuvenates the earth that we walk on. And so this is a fitting picture. God's thoughts, God's ways, God's words speak forth in such a way that we see it, we recognize it, but we don't see the full effect. And quantity matters, and then we see later the result. So that, and this is interesting verbiage, so that it yields seed for the sower It yields bread for the eater. There's an effect here going forward. It's not simply about the recipient. It's about the fruit that the recipient will bear going forward. Verse 11, so it is with my word. It goes out from God's mouth to accomplish his aim, to accomplish his end. We won't read it, but look at verse 12. The first words, you will go out. This word is spoken to those who are God's, that we will be the vehicles through which this blessing is conveyed, carried forward, carried out. That thought, that way so far beyond us, revealed so that there would be fruit in our lives. And if the fruit that we're looking for this morning kind of begins with our knowledge and our relationship with God, our appetite and our apprehension of his word, no hands were raised, here's a manner in which this spiritual life should be lived. Turn back a few pages with me to Psalm 1 and we'll end there. Psalm 1. The Psalms, again, are artists, poets, looking at their relationship with God, what they're learning and kind of putting it in poetic terms, putting it into song, putting it into prose. And the psalmist begins Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But, and I'd suggest to you that's a big but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. And listen to this verse. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I don't know if it strikes you like it strikes me, but I think verse 3 is a beautiful description of the spiritual life. And I would love that to be a description of my life as I follow after Christ. But he begins with a contrast. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in the wisdom that we would offer, that the world would offer, but rather walks in the wisdom that God reveals through his word. You see that in the first two verses. So none of us raised our hands satisfied with our diet of God's word. But we see clearly that this is the manner in which the spiritual life is really lived with vitality. I think it's safe to say we can't live this spiritual life without his word. Can't do it. So it brings us back to that question about our appetite and our apprehension of this word. Where are we? Where are those 92% of homes with the Bibles? Where are those Bibles? Are they holding something up? Or holding something down? Are they there to greet on the coffee table? We live in a day of technology. Maybe your Bible doesn't look like this. Maybe it's on your iPod, your iPad. Maybe it's coming through in podcasts. Maybe you got somebody with a really cool voice reading to you. Where is our appetite and our apprehension in this word? Look into a mirror if we want this spiritual life to grow. And especially that part about fruit. You know, we talked last week about the environment in which this spiritual life is lived. Not about me, but about Christ. This is not about my blessing. This is not about me living the American dream. This is not about God making my life better, easier, more fun. This is about the work that he's doing, the context in which Jesus Christ is being communicated. And the manner through which it happens is his word in and through me. I just want to share with you a few opportunities. You know, I like to think in the church year of this day, this first Sunday of the fall, the official fall schedule, congratulations that none of you showed up at 9:30. I like to think of this as kind of a new beginning of the church year. This is when the kids program starts. So many opportunities. First of all, those of you with children in the children's programs, I hope you'll take the opportunity to discuss with your kids the lessons that they're learning. Lynn and those staff of folks that are working with our kids, we are beyond blessed at what they're accomplishing. And we're fools if we don't take the opportunity to sit down with our kids and say, so what did you learn? And have that dialogue. The fall also starts the new series of small groups. And starting this fall in September and October, a number of small groups. A couple new marriage groups starting. A couple of new Bible studies starting. Opportunities for you will roll out this fall. I hope you'll take advantage. The Amherst Milford Bible study that meets on Wednesdays, less than a mile from here. I hope you'll take advantage of some of these things as the new season starts in the fall. And if you're into technology, I hope you know what YouVersion is. If you don't, go home and Google it. I hope you understand what is out there. Those of you who have a commute, those of you who have time during the day, so much out there. The word comes to us now through avenues multiplied from where it was just 10 years ago. If you want to study with me, my blog site, we're going through the book of Revelation, just a little light reading. I hope you'll come to the blog. Once a week, we're tackling another section. I hope you'll do that. And if you're like me and you like butts, you can sign up through my Facebook or my Twitter feed, and I'll give you a Bible verse with a big butt every day. I'll show you my butt every day. I got 1,200 people come by to look at my butt. How about that? I hope we're doing those things to increase our own appetite. And I'd even go so far as to say, if you're sitting here this morning and you're one of the folks, and I've tried, I've done that, it's not working for me, talk to me. Talk to one of the elders. Talk to somebody sitting next to you and say, hey, I want to get into this. Start your own little get-together. Share this journey. Because if we're serious about growing in our spiritual life, starts here. This is a key ingredient. Would you pray with me? So, Father, would you nurture our souls? Would you nourish us in your word? Would you speak to us? Would you guide us? Would you direct us? That your thoughts, your ways, more and more would be revealed. That we could grow in our sense of knowing and understanding you. And that our walk with you would reflect that to the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.